This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
No team hotter than the Boston Red Sox right now. As we get into the middle of August, the Red Sox 27-3 in their past 30 games. Red Sox played arguably the best baseball game of the year on Thursday night. That was the 12-11 win over the White Sox in 13 innings. And on Friday night, Will Hill, the Red Sox put away the A's 13-1. So it's definitely a bet-on baseball team right now, talking about Boston. We could say the opposite about the A's, who are 7-33 in their past 40. So this gets us to the top game on the betting rotation on Saturday. A's and Red Sox jump against Bennett, a couple of lefties, and the Red Sox are minus 225, total of 9 at Fenway Park. Now, no matter what you think of Bennett, the starting pitcher for Boston, it takes a tremendous leap of faith to take the A's at 2-1. And I don't think many bettors out there will. I think most bettors would just throw the Red Sox on a parlay pretty much every day and say, well, that's a free square the way they're playing baseball right now.
Or even lay the 1.5 because the A's have all sorts of issues hitting, pitching. I actually like the A's pitcher, Gage Jump, and these two pitchers squared off about a week and a half ago. I think it was the Monday night game. I was doing the show with Femi Benfica. It was 1-0 after 5 innings. It's a good pitcher's duel. But this is just a Red Sox team that you can't really fade right now. And you and I usually don't say that. It's, you know, it depends on the value and the matchup. The A's are hard to bet on, though. The Red Sox are hard to bet against. It would be Red Sox minus 1.5 or including the Red Sox, like you said, in some sort of parlay. But I certainly want no part of the A's here.
You certainly could have laid 1.5, 2.5, whatever you wanted to on Friday night. You're going to cash with the Red Sox. The run line in that game, minus 1.5, minus 108. That's at Circus Sports on the Saturday card. Gage Jump, the starter for the A's, has made 13 starts. He's 4-7. Not that the record means much for a bad team like this. Over 67 innings, he's allowed 67 hits and 31 walks with 65 strikeouts and a whip of 1.47, ERA of 4.59. But like you, I do like him. I think he's a good young pitcher. So if you're going to make some sort of argument that the A's are worth a bet, that's where you start. But I'm not going to make that argument.
I'm not going to either. Maybe you look at the total under 9. It's always dicey playing under. In that small little ballpark, you know, how about Peyton Tolley on Friday night? 14 strikeouts for Boston. They do have some impressive young pitching, but it's hard to back the A's. It'd be Boston or pass. But I'll probably pass. You don't lay run and a half a lot, do you?
No, but with a team like the Red Sox right now, you can, especially when they're playing a bad team like the A's. And the A's are awful right now. Okay. Two hottest teams in baseball, Red Sox and the Cubs. Each team just swept the Dodgers recently. And the Cubs are in Kansas City this weekend. Clay Holmes is going to get the start against Seth Lugo. Cubs, Royals, and Cubs opening right around minus 170. Total of 9.5 in KC. And Cubs are another team that I don't want to bet against right now. What do you think about the Clay Holmes acquisition?
I like it. 95th percentile in terms of producing ground balls, according to a baseball savant. He keeps the ball on the ground, and the Cubs have a really good defense, a really good infield defense, too, so he should really thrive there. For a little cheaper, I'd probably look at the Cubs. It's another situation where it's just enough out of range where I probably don't want to bet it, but how about this? We'll be a couple square balls here. What's a Cubs-Red Sox money line parlay pay? Is that enough? Is that a way to play it? You probably get to around even money there. I know people don't like to do it. If Steve Fezzik is listening, he's going to scold me. But
Fezzik can scold you, but he's made some bad money line bets in his lifetime, too. So sometimes don't be a hypocrite.
Well, he just says don't parlay him. He says don't parlay him. You can't get the best price in each book. I get all of that. But it's hard to bet against the Cubs right now. I'll leave it at that.
Yes, I'm not going to bet against the Cubs. I've told you during a break tonight that I looked at the card today and I said, there are three favorites on this card that you would want to put on a parlay, and they would be the Red Sox, the Cubs, and the Dodgers. But I would be a little bit concerned about the Dodgers because they're just out of sync right now, and you never know what you're going to get from Sasaki. Maybe you could do that on Saturday with the Red Sox and Cubs. Just leave the Dodgers off the board. Let's talk about the Dodgers. They opened the series in Arizona on Friday night, And Dodgers have Yoshinobu Yamamoto going against Brandon Pfaadt on Saturday. Dodgers minus 160 to 173, somewhere in that price range. Total of 8.5. And I guess it's kind of difficult to say what you would bet on Saturday without seeing how the Friday night game turns out between these teams. But Yamamoto, if he's trying to stop a losing streak, you would think would be a decent bet on Saturday.
That would be the way I would look, and that's probably the line of thinking there.
And I know that you like to lay the run line on the road. You don't like to do it at home, but you do it with a team like the Dodgers on the road because you get that ninth inning at bat for sure.
And you could save a lot of juice, and I think the numbers back this up, where if you do it sparingly, if you do it the right way, instead of laying $1.70-$1.80, your win rate just has to be a lot lower if you're laying that $1.50-$1.10. You know what? If it lands on a run, you're going to get burned with it sometimes, but you're going to get burned in the long haul laying $1.82. So that's that push and pull, that kind of cat and mouse game. But you're right. A team like the Dodgers, a team that can pull away and win by margin, especially when they're getting that ninth at bat guaranteed, is the rare time I do like doing it.
How about this pitching matchup in the Bronx on Saturday? And this is an early start, by the way, 12:05 p.m. Pacific, 3:05 Eastern. Chris Sale, Gerrit Cole.
Not bad.
Pretty good matchup between the Braves and the Yankees. And Sale is the favorite at minus 135.
Rightful favorite. Yankees not swinging the bats well. What do we have for an under there? That might be an under, a good first
7.5.
Yeah, that's a low under, but it might not be low enough because Yankees not swinging the bats well. Obviously, Judge out, Bellinger out. We know all the guys out. And, Sale's outstanding. Cole has pitched pretty well. So that would be one. Yeah, that's got 3-2-4-3 written all over it. I like the under there.
All right, a couple more baseball games to preview on Saturday as we look for some best bets. Not a bad pitching matchup in Philadelphia, even though it's more about the names than it is current form for these guys. Mad Max Scherzer, Aaron Nola, Blue Jays and Phillies, and Philadelphia minus 158, total of 9.5 or 10. You know, it's interesting. Recently, I watched a replay of Game 7 of the World Series, and Mad Max outpitched Shohei Ohtani as a starter in that game. He pitched well. He had something left for Game 7. It doesn't look like he has much left right now. Aaron Nola has been off pretty much the whole season. Would you look at the total or a side here with the total at 9.5?
Yeah, back in like 2019, this total might have been 7 or so, especially back when you had the pitchers hitting in those days. And these are guys that have seen better days. This might be playing. It'd be over or nothing. It'd be Phillies or nothing. Scherzer has seen better days. He's been okay.
He's almost
in
done.
In recent starts, but he is just about done. I'd be shocked if he's pitching this time next year. The fastball's just not there anymore. He tries to get away with throwing, 91, 92. It's been a little bit up recently, but I think the Phillies should be able to get to him. So, Phillies would look over.
I would look over 9.5, if anything, in that game. And Mad Max, a fierce competitor, I don't think he's going to push it much longer. You don't want to go out there at less than your best and get knocked around, right? And he's getting knocked around at this point.
He's getting it hard. And I thought, too, with the Blue Jays being at it, I wonder, would anyone even take a shot at him at the trade deadline? Obviously not the case, but, could you just get him to, in a big spot, give you not even 5 or 6 innings, but 4 or 5 innings, but there's just not much there. At some point, the gas tank is on E, and it doesn't go anymore, and we are close to that point with Scherzer. He's had a great career, but it's just about over.
And the Blue Jays just never quite get it together. Dylan Cease has had some really good starts for the Blue Jays recently. They blew a game at Wrigley Field. It's a terrible loss.
Horrible loss.
At Wrigley to the Cubs. And Blue Jays is not a team I believe in at this point. You know, it's funny, though, when you think back to Game 7 of the World Series. Bo Bichette hits that 3-run shot off of Ohtani. It's 3-0 early in that game. Mad Max is pitching well. Ohtani's chased out of the game. Was not looking good for the Dodgers.
No. And
a few times it wasn't
a few
good.
Times yeah. Fast forward to, hey, they're one out, nobody on in the World Series, about Game 7 of the World Series, and a utility light hitting infielder goes deep. Even after that, you got the bases loaded, one out. You had the bases loaded when those two guys ran into each other. Kiner Falefa didn't get a good jump off of third. I mean, you rewatch that game, it took 5 or 6 plays that all had to go the Dodgers ways to win it, and they won it.
All right, one more to talk about in baseball tomorrow night, and that's Astros-Padres at Petco Park in San Diego. Lambert against King. Michael King, former Yankee. He's a strikeout guy at Circa. Padres minus 127, total of 8. I do see an 8.5 out there. This is going to be a Sunday night baseball game on NBC this weekend. So when you're home with your family in Connecticut, you can watch the Astros-Padres on Sunday night. How do you feel about Michael King as a slight favorite here? And we've talked about the Padres a lot. The perception is this team is underachieving, but they're right there in the playoff race. Despite Fernando Tatis, Manny Machado, and a bunch of guys in that lineup underperforming, the Padres are right there. I don't like to lay a price with them, though. I do like Michael King, but I'm not going to lay the price.
I would take the plus money, if anything. And really, the Astros, too. Astros are another team that was thought to be a seller. They might be out of it. And the AL West has come back to them in a big way where they're right there to win it. And the Padres, you know, where they trade Mason Miller, where they trade this guy, they didn't trade anybody. They instead added a couple starters, Casey Mize and Robbie Ray. But we'll take the plus money, if anything, but I'll pass.
All right, so if you got to have one best bet or two best bets on the Saturday card, what do you go with?
Under 7.5 Yankees, Braves, and over 9.5 Phillies, Blue Jays.
Or you parlay the Red Sox and the Cubs.
Red Sox, right? Cubs. Here's what's going to happen. I won't parlay it. I won't play it. They'll both win 10-1.
Hey, the Big Sweet is back. Cashing Out with Dustin Sweetelson is back starting Sunday. Once the primetime games wrap, the real breakdown is just getting started. Dustin serves up his usual comedy, including some best bets, key angles, real conversation, just what you need before the Monday slate. Cashing Out with Dustin Sweetelson returns this Sunday at 10 Eastern, and then weeknights at 11 right here on VSiN. And Will Hill, I know you're thrilled to see the Big Swede back in the lineup.
Can't wait. It means football's back. We're back to business here.
We call him the Big Swede, but if you look at that promo, it looks like he's dropped 5 or 6 pounds, doesn't it?
Maybe.
Maybe not. All right, quick break. We'll be back. More NFL futures talk here on VSiN Primetime, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Update out of Arizona. Tommy Edman was robbed of a home run. Outstanding defensive play in right field, so the Dodgers still trail the D-backs 1-0. And the D-backs got on the board on a Nolan Arenado solo homer that barely got over the wall, bounced into the first row. So Dodgers are down. They've dropped 6 in a row and down early in tonight's game. Will Hill, what do we have happening in the Bronx?
Not much of anything. Still scoreless, and it's funny. This was 1-0 in the top of the first, and if you turned it off for some reason, you're saying, how is it 0-0? Well, that run was wiped off because a runner was thrown out at third before the run scored, so that run was disqualified, and since then, it's been nothing. Spencer Jones, with a man on second, hit a ball deep, looked like it had a chance to maybe go out, but that ball was caught, so we head to the bottom of the fifth. Still scoreless.
Surprise, surprise. The Cubs are winning, too. Cubs up 6-2 over the Royals in Kansas City. All right, Will Hill and I will talk some NFL futures here in about 15 minutes. Right now, we're going to focus on college football futures. Let's go out to the Progressive guest line and bring in sports betting writer for Forbes, Grant Mitchell. Follow him at Mile Mitchell. And, Grant, great to have you on the show tonight. And I want to start with Kurt Cignetti and the Indiana Hoosiers. I wrote in our VSiN college football betting guide, if the last year's script were a Disney movie, people would laugh it off as absurd and unrealistic what the Indiana Hoosiers did last year. Now the question is, can they do it again or something similar? Can they do it again? Can they win the Big Ten again? Can they go over the win total? What are your expectations for Indiana in year 3 of Cignetti with a new quarterback to transfer Josh Hoover from TCU?
Yeah, well, let me just say right off the bat, if that was the Disney movie, then they would have had to have made a sequel, right? I mean, we're on Toy Story 5 now, so why can't the reigning national champions who just went 16-0, why can't they put something together this year? And don't get me wrong, it's the Big Ten. We're playing big boy football out there. Obviously, you've got Ohio State at the top of the odds board. Oregon looks like they're going to be fielding a really good team this year. And of course, there's some other heavyweights in that conference. But Indiana, in this Kurt Cignetti era, he has not lied since he had his big speech in his opening press conference where he said, Google me, I win football games, and that's all that Indiana has done since that point. And if anything, they've just become more and more attractive to these guys in the portal. And look, Indiana builds their football in a football team in a very specific way. They want guys who are experienced, not just with game experience, but life experience. They want 23 and 24 year olds as opposed to 18 year olds. And when you see some of their physical maturity, it makes sense why. But looking at this season, ultimately, here's how I boil this down. Fernando Mendoza obviously won the Heisman, did a phenomenal job at Indiana last year. And this might sound blasphemous to say, but I actually really like the Indiana options at quarterback. And it wouldn't surprise me if, just from a statistical standpoint, we end up seeing some even better numbers this year, because Mendoza, while he played with great control of the game, didn't necessarily put up outstanding numbers. Now, Indiana doesn't have the advantage of being the hunters. They are now the hunted. Everybody has them in their crosshairs. But Kurt Cignetti has shown no relent since he has gotten this job. And I know that people will talk about him a lot, but I don't think he really cares. I think he's got this team locked in and motivated, and I think they'll be really good, and they have a great chance of winning the conference this year.
Grant, the SEC, it just means more, as we know. How many teams do you think you can make a case for winning it, and who do you ultimately like here to win the SEC?
Well, there's certainly a lot of teams that you can make the case for, right? I mean, there's just so much talent in this conference, and that's how it is every year. And I know that you're going to see the memes of, these were the last three national championship matchups, and then here are the last three national championship matchups without the SEC, and they're exactly the same because the SEC hasn't been there. But don't let that fool you. Just because you might be the SEC might be losing its national dominance doesn't mean that they're not still a phenomenal conference. So when we talk about the teams that have a legitimate chance of winning it, I think it's got to start and end with the top two. I think it's got to be Georgia and Texas. And from that point on, you're kind of holding on to some sort of hope. It would largely be the underdog, maybe not totally out of nowhere, but something that you're not, most people aren't expecting. If I'm looking at this, even though I really do think Georgia can have a good season, which will be aided by the fact that they don't have the toughest schedule in the world, I think you roll with Texas here. I mean, they've got quarterback and edge rusher locked off, which are probably the two most important positions on the football field. This is a team that has been stuffed with talent for a long time. And obviously there's immense pressure on the coaching staff, but I just have to believe at some point they will figure it out. And while Arch Manning was kind of the butt of jokes early on, because he really didn't start last season very well, as the season progressed, he slowly found his footing, got that playing experience, ultimately decided to go back to college, and I think that was the best decision that he could have possibly made. So I'm not necessarily on the arch for Heisman train, but the arch to be a good quarterback on a highly talented football team, I think that's absolutely realistic. So I would be looking at the Horns to be winning the SEC this year.
Let's stay in the Lone Star State. Texas Tech, it's funny, Grant. On one hand, they got all the crap in the world for the Sorsby situation, and on the downside, they didn't even get him to play football for them. But you have an angle on this team. How are you playing here, the Red Raiders?
Yeah, well, this is the thing with Texas Tech, and we had this conversation going into last season as well, right? We said, look at Texas Tech, look at Kansas State, look at Utah, look at BYU, look at Arizona State. Every team in the conference was like, they're 8-4, they're 9-3. And then you saw Texas Tech play and you went, wow, those guys are pretty good at football, aren't they? And of course, their defense was the driving force of that. I know that their offense had a bunch of really good metrics, but we saw when they ran up against Oregon in the college football playoff, we saw that was beyond a shred of a doubt a defensive-minded team. Now, are they going to have the second pick in the draft again this year? Most likely not. But if you look at their schedule, I mean, it's one of the easiest schedules that you will find among power conference teams who are actually expected to contend for something legitimate this season. So by a product of the talent that they have, yes, they had unpredictable circumstances at the quarterback spot, but they still have a ton of talent on their team, and it's a really easy schedule. It really should not be difficult for them to walk their way into the Big 12 conference championship game. And from that point on, I mean, if they're 11-1, even if they lose, they're probably still getting into the college football playoffs. So however much confidence you have in them, win the conference, make the playoff, I think both are worth looking into. But I would be really surprised if this team doesn't have, if nothing else, a very good record by the time the season ends.
I don't know. I keep hearing all this talk about Texas Tech and the easy schedule. Well, Abilene Christian and Sam Houston are a lot tougher than people think.
No doubt about it.
That's true. I mean, you never want to get too far over your skis, right? You never overlook anybody, but call me crazy here. Feel free to fade me on this one if you want to, but I would take them in both those games.
Yeah, probably. Also against Coach Prime in early October. I think this feels like it's about it for Deion Sanders, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Deion Sanders, Bill Belichick, over under a one for who's coaching those.
That's actually a pretty good prop.
Yeah.
Grant Mitchell, Forbes, we're talking about Indiana. We're talking about Texas, Georgia. How many playoff teams do you think we get from the SEC? I'm curious because you like Texas and Georgia. Do you think we'll get a three-loss SEC team in the playoff?
Well, you know, there was a lot of conversations about that recently. And again, the SEC has been that team that's been at the top for such a long time. When you look at some of these teams out there, I actually like boiling it down to who are the national championship contenders, mm-hmm. because that gives you a real national perspective on who the top teams are. So obviously you're going to see your Ohio States, you're going to see your Oregons, your Notre Dames, and then your Indianas, and then you'll actually start to get into the SEC. And of course, at the top, it's those two teams we talked about already to win the SEC during the regular season. We get to Texas, we get to Georgia. I think that there are some teams that could, you know, make it interesting. I think LSU has a chance to make it interesting. I think Texas A&M and Alabama, with the talent that they have, I think they have the chance to make it interesting. But right now, if you were giving me a line, I'm setting it probably at like 3.5. And then I think it just ultimately depends on how the season plays out, to be completely honest with you.
A lot of potential there with Ole Miss and Oklahoma, too. SEC is going to have multiple teams in there. I bet a three-loss SEC team gets in the playoff this year.
I think
it's going to happen. All right, Grant, last one here. We got a couple of guys who host the Sports Gambling Podcast, Sean Green and Ryan Kramer. One of them is a big Virginia Tech guy. Are you high on James Franklin in his first year with the Hokies?
Well, you know, if we weren't on TV here, if we were just recording this for fun, I might rip my shirt off and have my Virginia Tech shirt on, because I am a former Hokie myself. Okay. So I'm going to hold my hands up here and say that this might be a homer pick. In fact, it is by definition a homer pick. But this is my thing. When we go back to talking about schedules, like we were talking about with Texas Tech, right? If you look at Virginia Tech's schedule, they don't have to win big games. I mean, they're at Clemson. We can count that as a loss. They're at Miami, we can count that as a loss. They're at SMU, we can count that as a loss. And then take your pick. Whoever the next toughest team is, they can lose that. And if they win the rest of their games, they can still go over the win total. Big Game James, as he's nicknamed, doesn't win the big game, but there are no big games Virginia Tech has to win to hit the over on their total. So as long as they take care of business, which James does against lesser teams, I like their chances.
Follow him at Myo Mitchell. Grant Mitchell covers sports betting for Forbes. Grant, I like your analysis tonight, and good luck this season. Thanks for jumping on.
No problem. Thank you all for having me.
Thanks, Grant.
Will Hill and I will come back. We're going to talk about Big Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers, the reunion. Do you have tears in your eyes?
Not yet.
Huh? Really?
Not yet.
Sentimental reunion between Big Mike and Aaron Rodgers. Back in a couple minutes here.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is a big deal. The VSiN College Football Betting Guide is out. Sign up for VSiN Pro today. Get instant access to our College Football Betting Guide preview magazine with 138 FBS teams profiled, preseason top 50, power ratings, betting systems, best bets. You also get our NFL Betting Guide and the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide. Everything we do on vsin.com is yours if you're a vsin pro. Betting splits, prop projections, 24/7 video on the vsin watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or get a full year and save 50% with a vsin pro annual subscription. vsin.com/subscribe. Will Hill, Matt Youmans here on a Friday night, and our game of the night is Braves Yankees in the Bronx, and not a lot to talk about so far. A total of 5 hits in the game, no runs. As we go to the bottom of the sixth, scoreless between the Braves and the Yankees. But this is what you expected to get from Max Fried. And we also talked about, don't know what you're going to get from the Yankees lineup.
Should have just played the under with that line of thinking, but it's always easy to say that when it's scoreless in the sixth. And bad beat if you had, I don't know if it's a bad beat, but imagine telling someone when it was 1-0 Braves, as they get an RBI single in the top of the first, that, you know what, in the top of the sixth or the bottom of the sixth, it's actually going to be scoreless, because this game started with a run in the top of the first, something very unusual. That run was discounted, disqualified, wiped off the board because Ozzie Albies was thrown out going to third, and the run did not score in time. The runner, I think it was maybe Olsen, his foot was in the air as the tag was applied. So we could be looking at a 1-0 Braves lead, and that would be a tough one for Lynn, who's played very well recently, and I think kind of pulled away here in the NL East. But no score. We'll see if the Yankees – you feel good about this usually when you're the home team in a scoreless game, that, you know what, you get the last at bat. But the Yankees, as we know, Matt, they do not play well in extra innings. They really struggle anytime you deal with that ghost runner, and it's situational baseball, base running, bullpens. You'd like to get one sooner rather than later, to say the least, if you're the Yanks.
Don't look now, but the game's getting a little tight in Kansas City. Cubs 6, Royals 4, and Kansas City's got two runners on and actually two outs. So this could be a rally killer. But, man, these City Connect uniforms really suck. The Royals got some on tonight, too, and they look like bad high school jerseys. Look at those. What is that?
It's one thing if you want to honor old jerseys, I'm all for that, but these look ridiculous. I don't know what these are.
Anyway, we'll get back to baseball here in a couple minutes. Not much else to update. Still 1-0 in the D-backs-Dodgers game. Dodgers trying to stop a 6-game losing streak. Last night, Mike Tomlin debuted on NBC as a studio commentator. He was up there with Maria Taylor and that cast pregame last night, and I heard good reviews about Tomlin. I expected he would be good on TV. Yeah. He's a great speaker.
He is.
The graphic said 19 seasons as a coach, 0 losing seasons. Did you know that?
Never heard it before.
That's amazing. Never heard it before. I mean, last season, the Steelers went 10-7, and they won the AFC North. Obviously, that last game against the Baltimore Ravens, very dramatic, got the Steelers into the playoffs, where they made an early exit once again. All right, so Aaron Rodgers is going to run it back. He's going to do it with a different coach, Big Mike McCarthy. The reunion from their Green Bay days. I really thought these guys, from all the reports and stories you read over the years and all the talk, is that Rodgers and McCarthy, Rodgers especially hated McCarthy at the end of his time with Green Bay. Now all of a sudden they love each other again. Here's Aaron Rodgers talking about why he decided to come back for what he says is definitely his last year in the NFL in Pittsburgh.
It's been that way the last couple of years, you know, just feeling into the off seasons on what it feels like. I kind of had shut this door 99%, and then Mike got hired. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like he kind of put his foot in the door a little bit, and I wanted to see where he was at. You know, yeah. We had a great conversation in 2022 before we played him in Green Bay when he was with Dallas. But I just wanted to, you know, start the relationship up again. You know, we were still talking, but just see where he's at, see if they even wanted me, keep expectations low. But it progressed slowly, and I'm real glad to be back.
Just a hypothetical. This goes great. You love it.
No.
Your body's great.
This is it.
You win. You win playoff games. You're just loving it. No?
No, this is it.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I feel good about that.
Incredible.
Well, yeah, what's incredible about it? Rodgers' numbers last season weren't that bad. Actually, if you look at his numbers, 65.7% completions, 3,322 yards, 24 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He got sacked 29 times. But if you look at 24 TDs, 7 picks, and let's say you put those numbers on a young quarterback, a lot of people would be fired up. Yeah. Hey, this kid's good. This is a future at the position. But the problem with Aaron Rodgers is the second half of the season, he wasn't very good. And he wasn't mobile. He couldn't get out of the pocket. He couldn't make plays. It was all short throws. And I think Rodgers is smart enough not to throw too many picks. He's just not going to make many big plays.
And he's had a reputation in the past of kind of padding his stats where he gets to the 1 or 2 yard line and you can run it in or throw it in, but he likes to throw it in to get those extra touchdowns. I'm not sure how much of that is fair or not. I've always liked Rodgers more than some people, but it's over. It looked over. I mean, we could read the stats. 24-7 sounds good, but touchdown interception ratio, like you said, could be misleading. He's not mobile anymore. And so much of his game was that when he was great, and make no mistake, he was great for Green Bay. And he probably, you know, should have been to more than one Super Bowl. When he won that one, you thought, man, this guy's set up to win it multiple times, and he never got back. It's a little like Marino, except he actually won one, as opposed to Marino, who lost early in his career. But a lot of his game was he would get away, and even if he wouldn't run, he would find somebody that's open and throw a strike 40 yards downfield. He can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And if you're too optimistic about Rodgers, you think, you know what, he had a good year, go back and watch against the Texans. It was almost sad. It was just like a shot fighter who was just – it was helpless. Now, I know that's a good defense, outdoors, but, I mean, it felt like you could have played that game for 8 or 12 quarters, and they might not have scored a touchdown. I don't even remember if they did score on offense. That was an ugly, ugly performance.
Well said. Well said, because I actually bet the Steelers in that game, and it was sad to watch because Rodgers couldn't do anything offensively. I was kind of betting against C.J. Stroud on the road, and Stroud wasn't very good at the end of the year last year. But that was a game he and the Texans won, and I thought the way Rodgers played in that game, if you watch, he said, it's over. Well, he's back. He says his wife talked him into coming back. If Big Mike is the coach, Aaron, you can play one more year. His wife told him he could play one more year.
I have no bets on them, do you?
No, I do have a bet on the Bengals to win the division.
Okay. It's a popular team.
So let's look at the AFC North here. Win total, Ravens 11.5, Bengals 10.5, Steelers 8.5, Browns 5.5. Is this finally going to be the year the Steelers have a losing record? I took the Bengals at +200 to win this division, and I kind of like the AFC East, even though not the same. I said that's a two-horse race. I don't really look at the Steelers as a team that can win the division this year. I think it's the Ravens or the Bengals. But you can't say a two-horse race because the Steelers could work their way into it. The Browns are not going to do it. Anything that you played in the AFC North, win total, division odds, I think a lot of people do like the Bengals this year. They used to be a bounce back for Joe Burrow and the Bengals, assuming Burrow is going to stay healthy for a change.
It's a big assumption. He's never healthy. He's hurt all the time. The defense always stinks. I don't love the coach.
2 years ago, he was healthy. He led the NFL in passing yards and touchdowns. But last year was a disaster.
Yeah. I don't like the Ravens enough to go odds on. I actually think, are they 11.5? That would probably be my best bet. Under 11.5 on the Ravens. Lamar looks like he's lost a step. He's banged up often enough, too, where you don't feel great about him playing 16, 17 games. Any chance Cleveland could be a little feisty, a little frisky? Is there anything there with Cleveland in your mind?
There's not much there.
Okay.
With those quarterbacks?
People make the case, Judkins, Boston, Denzel Boston supposedly look good in practice. They always have a pretty good – they always play good defense at home. Now, I know they traded Miles Garrett.
Wait a minute. They said Denzel Boston looked good in practice?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to bet the Browns.
There you go.
I didn't hear that.
It could be a little bit better.
I'm all in on the Browns.
They could be a little bit better. I wouldn't. I was looking at week one, 7.5 against Jacksonville. I don't know. Could they keep it close? I know a lot of people probably tease Jacksonville.
I think the Browns would be competitive. Can they go over the win total? Yes. But if you're asking me, do I think the Browns could compete for the division? Could they be a playoff team? No way. Not with those quarterbacks. Yeah. Deshaun Watson, Shedeur Sanders, Dylan Gabriel, what are you going to get from those guys?
Watson, I don't know if you saw this.
Don't like the coaching hire.
Yeah, I was 50-50 on that, too. I don't know if you saw this. Watson made the quote, hey, I would love to be back in Cleveland. If they want me, I'd love to be back. Yeah, sure. I mean, you've robbed them for $250 million. Yeah, I'd love more money. Sure, pay me more money. Yeah, it's nice that he would stick around. He's very generous.
Well, if there's one team that would bring him back, I guess it would be the Browns. Yeah, I saw that, too. I'm not very optimistic about the Browns, but it's not going to surprise me if they're much more competitive than they were last year. I just the Bengals are the team I'm looking for the big bounce back from. 2 years ago, Joe Burrow, 4,918 yards passing, 43 touchdowns, led the NFL in both categories. Last year, injured, Bengals season sabotaged early, and they had no shot. But you're right. It's risky when you bet Bengals futures because if Burrow goes down, you're screwed.
And they always stink in September. They always drop a game or two in September. They never should lose.
Don't bet the Bengals in week one and Survivor.
No.
Bengals open against the Buccaneers at home. Boy, that's tempting. No. Bengals at Texans in week two, at Steelers in week three. All right, we're going to wrap up the show, talk about our best bets for tomorrow and the weekend. Stay tuned to the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Boone goes to the bullpen. Typically bad news if you bet the Yankees. Will Hill bet the Yankees tonight. We got a scoreless game in the seventh. Max Fried could not have been much better tonight against his former team. What did the Braves end up with? Three hits against Fried. Left with about 90 pitches. He just got pulled from the game. How do you feel about the Yankees bullpen at this point? If you're going to live bet this game, by the way, Yankees are -109, Braves -106. Basically, got to pick them. Total, the live total is 2.5.
I mean, I bet the Yankees. I gave out the Yankees, so I don't want to give out both sides of a game and lock in a loss. If I had nothing, if I had no bets, and you like gave me true serum, I would be betting the Braves. I never trust the Yankee bullpen. I know they were just talking. Bednar's been good, but Yankees don't do well in these close games. They don't do well in extras. It's funny, the bullpen ERA just as a team is pretty good, but there's not one guy I really, really trust outside, I guess, Bednar recently. But did you realize, Matt, if the Yankees lose, they will be somewhere they haven't been, I don't think, all year.
Third place.
They have the exact same win-loss record as the Boston Red Sox right now, but a loss would bump them down.
Well, they're going to be in third place eventually, whether it's tonight or tomorrow or when. It's going to happen because the Red Sox are not losing to the A's weekend, right?
Right.
And Red Sox, it feels like they're not going to lose anytime soon. I believe Cruz is a name for the Yankees. So Boone goes to the bullpen, and we'll see how this works out. Typically, it doesn't work out well, except when the Yankees go to David Bednar. And he went through a rough stretch there for a while, but the last 2 months or so, David Bednar, you can make a case, been the best closer in baseball.
He's been really good.
Yeah.
It's still, and look, we were spoiled all those years with Mariano Rivera. Nobody's ever going to be that, even though Rivera obviously had his hiccups in postseasons, et cetera. As it looks like the Cubs win. They're shaking hands, right? That's it's hard to see with this glare, but it looks like the Cubs win the game 6-4.
Cubs win again. Yep.
Milwaukee with those hideous Wisco uniforms lose. So objects in the mirror appear closer, whatever the saying is. The Cubs are gaining some ground on Milwaukee. I would not be surprised if the Cubs ran them down. The Cubs are really good. They're hot right now.
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is one little blister from Mizorowski, and you don't see him for a couple starts, something like that.
They can't even beat the Angels.
Yeah, it's Cubs are dangerous. Cubs and Red Sox right now, red, red hot.
Well, Chris Massaro ran the numbers last night, and he came out with a formula that made it look very difficult for the Cubs to surpass the Brewers in the division. It's not going to be that difficult. The Brewers are going to be lucky to play somewhere around 500 baseball the rest of the way, and the Cubs are red hot. And they got 7 games against each other. I still think that's going to go to the wire. Tonight, Brewers lose a game they should win against the Twins, and the Cubs win again. Cubs win 6-4 in Kansas City, and the Heat is going to be on the leaders in the NL Central. The Brewers have the best record in baseball, but pretty soon they can find themselves in second place. I believe after tonight, the lead is down to 4.5. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm looking now. I don't know if this is updated. I'm seeing 5 games out, but I don't know. I mean, the game literally just ended, so I don't think they updated it.
I think it's 4.5 after the results tonight. So we talk about trade deadline deals sometimes exaggerated in their importance. Robbie Ray for the Padres, supposedly a big pickup for the Padres. Get the lefty, veteran lefty. Robbie Ray is down 4-0 in the fourth inning tonight to the Astros in San Diego.
Yeah, top 5 deadline, I think, is what one of the publications called it. Is, by the way, the first batter Fernando Cruz faces almost hits the ball out of the ballpark, but the ball is caught at the wall, so the Yankees dodge a bullet. Can't make it up sometimes. But, yeah, Ray, look, I get it. The Padres looking for arms. They needed arms. I mean, they're sending out Randy Vasquez of the world, and they're really trying to piece together the rotation. Walker Buehler. They get Casey Mize from the Tigers. They get Robbie Ray from the Giants. So upgrades, but not exactly Tarik Skubal.
All right, so tomorrow, is this going to be one of your best bets? Sale and Cole in the Bronx. Tonight's game's a dead under. Do you think that these teams can play a dead under tomorrow? Total is 7.5.
Yeah, and I would imagine, you know, by the time you wake up, I wouldn't be surprised if it's down to 7. People are going to react to what they saw what they saw on Friday night. A scoreless game into the seventh, if not longer, to Hall of Fame pitchers. Both those guys going to the Hall of Fame, Chris Sale and Gerrit Cole. Is that fair to say?
Most likely.
Okay, yeah. I would under 3-2, 4-3 type of game.
I heard somebody refer to Francisco Lindor as a first ballot Hall of Famer recently, and I said, really? First ballot Hall of Famer?
I have to look at the numbers.
I don't know about that.
I think he's on the right side of getting in, but I don't know about first ballot. You know who got in the first ballot that I did not
think? I said the same thing about the Pro Football Hall of Fame, though, Phillip Rivers. Everybody said, Phillip Rivers, first ballot.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know about that.
Never got to the Super Bowl.
I know.
Passing numbers in this generation are exaggerated.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're greatly inflated, the passing numbers. I think you got to win something important.
Yeah.
Now, Mike Trout's never going to win something important, but he's obviously going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Because he was the best player in the game for a stretch of
MVPs,
5 to 8 years. Yeah.
When you never made a Super Bowl and you don't have any MVPs, it's hard to say. I mean, you could say he could get in, he could sneak in, but to say, you know, no doubt about it, first ballot is exaggerated. CeCe Sabathia was somebody who got in the first ballot that I know everyone loves him. You go and look, he had a great year for the Yankees in 09, helped them win a World Series. He had a lot of down years after that. I think he got in a lot on popularity. He was, you go look at his career, I think he had like a almost 4.5 ERA with the Yankees. They retired his number, which to me was crazy. CeCe Sabathia, and you can make the case he got in. I'm just surprised he like walked in first ballot, no problem.
I'm with you on that. I didn't think his career was as great as a lot of people portrayed it to be. CeCe did win over 19 years, 250 games.
Yeah.
And 250 wins is going to get you in, right?
Yeah.
His best year with the Yankees, 2010, he went 21-7. He had that stretch there for the Yankees where he won 21, 19 games. Nobody wins 20 games anymore.
Look at look at those last years. He had some fat ERAs, though, from 2013-14. He had some rough years. So
no question. All right, so Dodgers are trailing the D-backs 1-0 in the bottom of the fifth. And if you put the Dodgers on a parlay tonight, you got to be a little nervous. How many outs? I can't see the graphic.
One out, man on second, as Sasaki, 97. He's been hitting routinely. I've been watching this game out of the corner of my eye. 101, 102. He's got some gas, but he's not getting any run support tonight. As I think the Dodgers challenge this. They're going to lose this challenge by quite a bit here. But one man on second, one out. One on, Arizona up 1-0, bottom of the fifth. So if you bet Arizona first five, you can go up to the window. That one's already a winner.
The Dodgers have a young catcher back there with the injury to Dalton Rushing.
Yeah.
That young catcher just challenged that call, and he was way off. That was not a strike. Sasaki, one thing you and I have talked about, he's got nasty stuff. He's got a live arm. That's why I believe he's going to be at the back of that Dodgers bullpen when they get to the playoffs. D-backs up 1-0 with a runner on second. We'll see if they can add to their lead here tonight. But the Dodgers on a six-game losing streak. And Yoshinobu Yamamoto goes for the Dodgers on Saturday in Arizona. If the Dodgers lose tonight, would you be willing to lay? And I see right now at Caesars 160. That's a more manageable number.
Yes.
I think I could lay 160 with the Dodgers tomorrow.
Yes, you know what? If they lose their eighth in a row or whatever.
Seventh in a row tonight?
Yeah. That's what I mean. I'll lay the 160 thing. And you know what? If they have an eight-game losing streak, I'll lose my bet. But, boy, what would the odds of that been before the season? Will the Dodgers have a seven-game losing streak? Will the Dodgers have an eight-game losing streak? I probably got some fat prices on those.
Oh, I agree.
Those are close to getting home.
South Point's also got minus 160 on Yamamoto against the D-backs. Brandon Pfaadt's going to be the pitcher for Arizona tomorrow. Red Sox are minus 216 at Caesars, 225 here at Circa. Jump, the lefty is going to be the starter for the A's. We both like him, but I would almost guarantee these prices on the Red Sox go up by the time this game starts on Saturday.
Parlay protection, if nothing else. People just throw them in the money line parlay, lay the 1.5. Who the hell is going to bet against the Red Sox at this point? And who the hell is going to bet on the A's? The A's have been terrible. So two ships passing in the night, two teams going in completely different directions. How about a Red Sox-Cubs money line parlay?
It'll work tonight, and I think it'll probably work tomorrow. Red Sox 27-3 in the last 30. A's 7-33 in the last 40. All right, so Will Hill, you're the host of the Should Have Bet More podcast. You're on the Bear Bets podcast, and you're also hosting on VSiN on the weekend, so you're going to fly home to Connecticut with your family on Saturday.
Yeah.
And you're going to be on the air Sunday with JJ.
Try to get a word in on Sunday, but JJ likes to talk. But yeah, John and I will be back on Sunday, and I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about here as the Dodgers now trail 2-0 as Arizona continues to pile it on. It looks like an RBI triple. So we might have that opportunity, Matt, to bet the Dodgers off a seven-game losing streak. But yes, Sunday back in the routine, back at home, and John Jastrzemski will be on with VSiN morning line, weekend morning line, Sunday 9 a.m. Eastern.
9 a.m. Eastern. You got to get up early. Perdomo with the triple to the left center gap, and the D-backs take a 2-0 lead. I'll tell you what, if the Dodgers lose this game, I will lay the 160 on the Yamamoto and the Dodgers tomorrow. Imagine if you had to host a show with JJ and Tim Murray. You might never get to talk.
Get paid the same, though, right?
I still get paid the same. VSiN Weekend Morning Line tomorrow with Tim Murray. Big Red kicks it off the day. The Weekend Morning Line at 9 a.m. Eastern at noon. Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich. Then you're going to cover the full day's schedule at 3 p.m. It's Live Bet Saturday with the Big Swede and Joe Serrallo. Scott Seidenberg takes over at 7 p.m. Man, we have a heavyweight lineup on Saturdays here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Will Hill, great job tonight. Great to see you this week.
Always fun. Appreciate it.